Okay, let's start. Today is Daf Mem Ches. So let's start from where it says in the Gemara, Muksa Deraisihu. Okay, it's in the middle of the Gemara, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Muksa Deraisihu is Muksa Deraisa. Okay, this Gemara is in the middle of a Sugya. The Gemara wants to talk about Hoyel. Okay, we learned yesterday about Hoyel. And the Gemara here is the case where a person does Molochan Yomtiv, and he's chayef doing Molochan Yomtiv multiple lavin. Okay, we'll come back exactly to the case a little bit later. It's not important now at the case. When we'll get to the next stop, we'll go into the details of the case. But right now, in the middle of the case, in the sugya, the Gemara mentioned that if something is muksa, it is also min haTorah. If something has not been set aside for the purpose of Shabbos, the iser muksa. Okay, the Gemara is suggesting that muksa is an iser deraisa. If something has not been set aside for the use on Shabbos, it's also min haTorah. Like on Shabbos. Like, you're not allowed to go move, you can't move a hammer. The hammer is, let's say, muksa machmas, iser, all the different laws of muksa. If something has not been set aside for Shabbos use, it's osur min haTorah to make use of it. A rock, a stone. A stone is muksa machmas atzma. You have no purpose for a stone on Shabbos. What are you going to use a stone for? Nothing. So a stone is muksa. So the Gemara is suggesting now that the Isser Muksa is an Isser De'oiraisa. Tremendous Chiddush. Therefore, let's say you have wood, and the wood was not set aside for the use, on Yom Tov. If you take that wood and you burn it, and you use it for fuel to cook food on Shabbos, you over in the Melocha De'oraisa le'sasa kol Melocha. An incredible Chiddush. Why? But you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Cooking is mutter. Right? Terry says you're only allowed to cook on Yom Tov with wood that's permissible. Wood that's been set aside for cooking, for fuel. But if you have wood that was not designated, designated for use on Yom Tov, it was not been set aside, then the wood is muksa. And if the wood is muksa and you burn it, you light it, you kindle it, you're over on the locha derayis of loisase kol milocha. That is what the Gemara is suggesting now. In the middle of this whole Gemara, that's what the Gemara wants. It's a tremendous Chiddush. Okay, so you have wood. The wood has not been set aside for use on Yom Tov, and now you light it. It's muksa. You're over on the melacha deraisa lesase kol melacha of havor. Even though you are allowed to burn wood on Yom Tov for the purpose of oichel nefesh, you only can burn wood that has been set aside for use of oichel nefesh, of fuel, wood that's set aside for fuel to make food. But wood that's not been set aside for fuel, for wood, it's wood that's in the barn, it was set aside, it was meant to be used for some other purpose, it's lumber, it's going to be used for construction purposes, and now you change your mind and the other, you want to go use this wood to go cook your pot, and you burn it, you're chayif for the melacha deraisa of havar. Okay, that's what the Gemara said. It's in the middle of this whole Gemara. We'll come back to some details the next time. That's what we want to say. And this is a deraisa. Now, this is shocking to us because we never heard this. Everyone knows that the din of muksa is only this of the Rabbanan. There's no pasuk in the Torah anywhere that says in muksa is also min haTorah. Muksa is a takonas chazal. It comes from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, in time of the Bayis Sheni, when they built the Beis Hamikdash, Nehemiah went and he created a takana called muksa. And in fact, Nehemiah, his takana muksa was much more chamor than the muksa we know today. The muksa was very strict in those times because he saw there was very great zilzul in Kedusha Shabbos, so he had to go to the extreme to make very great chumas. But eventually, it was relaxed the way we have it today, where it's tolerable. I mean, we're not tolerable. It's a level where we're accustomed to. So the Gemara here says, Muksa deraisa, 8 lines from the bottom, Muksa deraisa, is this really true? That Muksa, the prohibition of Muksa deraisa, Amalei, in yes, shocking statement, according to the Gemara in the Havamina. The Chassidut says in the pasuk Vayabiyam Hashishi all day on Friday, the Echinu Esa Shoyaviu says it's about the man. They will prepare what they need for Shabbos, and we make a drasha. The only thing, even though the pasuk is referring to the man, but we apply it in general to all of your Shabbos needs. The only things that you can move around on Shabbos are things which you have prepared. If you have not prepared these things, it's going to be awesome. That now we have a law. But the only time you're going to get malchus is if there is an ashara. It's not just enough that the Torah tells you that it's also. You have to have a warning. You have to have a warning in addition to the prohibition that something is also. The warning is from here. So it comes out now. The Gemara is suggesting that if it's Yom Tif and you have a piece of wood, and the wood was not set aside for Shafa Yom Tif use, it was set aside for other purposes, and you take this piece of wood and you light it under your pot to do something, to cook. Let's the Gemara's
you
case.
You just said it was set aside for other purposes.
All right, the Chanami. All right, it was not set aside for Yom Tif. You're going to be chai for the Malacha, the rise of Lo Sase Kol Malacha, and the combination, Ein Mas Hidin Min Adin, Ein Mas Hidin, Ein Oinshin, Ella In Kein Mas. We have the prohibition of muksa v'echinu es asher yaviu, that you have to prepare something, and loisase kol malacha, that's a general all-inclusive loisase, which includes muksa, and that's why you're going to be chayv malchus when you light a piece of wood. Now the Gemara says that's not true. I'm going to show you now that the halacha is not true. Now here we go. Now we have a long braisa. This braisa darsh is a pasuk in Yecheskel. Pasuk Yecheskel, now some kedai to read you the entire pasuk. Okay, the pasuk says, let me read you the pasuk. The Gemara is going to dash. It's a famous pasuk. Pasuk in Yecheskel, the end of Yecheskel, Perek Mem Hey. If you have the new Gemara, it's on the side of the new Gemara, where it says Mem Hey Tezvav V'Se Achas. You will offer one se min hatsoin, from sheep, min hamosayim, from 1 in 200. Mimashke Yisrael, from the liquid that belongs to a Jew. It's a very mysterious pasuk. Pasuk, like many pasukim in Yecheskel, requires much explanation. And here the Gemara is going to decipher the deeper meaning of this pasuk, take each word, and make a drasha. And we don't need all the drashas for the purpose of our Gemara, but once the Gemara brings down the pasuk, the Gemara already goes through the entire braisa. So here we go. We asked Rav Chisda. I asked Rav Chisda personally. Some say, "Boy, my name Rav Huna." I didn't ask Rav Chisda. The tradition was to ask Rav Huna. Here is my question: let's say you go on Yom Tif or on Shabbos, for that matter, and you go out to the meadow and you find there an animal. For some reason, all of the animals that were in the pen in the Beis Hamikdash that were ready for the karbonos, the karbon tzibur, they always prepare this bikur. You have to go and inspect and prepare it 4 days in advance. But let's say, who knows, there was some natural event, whatever happened, and the wall broke, collapsed, and the animals escaped. All the animals that you had in the Beis Hamikdash that were, in the batter's cage, in the pitch, what's it called? What's the batter's box? In baseball. The guy that's on deck.
On deck circle.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. All those animals in the on deck circle, they all disappear. So what are you going to do now? No problem. We'll just go out to the field and we'll dig up an animal. Like an animal.
Yeah.
Problem is, those animals that are in the meadow are muksa. They've not been set aside for korbanos on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Are you allowed to go out into the field on Shabbos for the Beis HaMikdash and chop an animal and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash for a korban? Assuming you're not carrying it, you'll just have it followed. Me'afar means on Shabbos. Yeah. Me'afar. Afar means the meadow. Me'afar. What? The meadow.
Pasture.
Meadow. The meadow. Me'afar. Pasture. ushchato, and you slaughter it as a tamid biyamtif. So here, I think it says here yon, but the same halacha I think is true even for Shabbos as well. Here's biyamtif. Mahu, what is halacha? Have you done a halacha deraisa? The at amar lana. I asked you this question. You told me. What you tell me? The at amar lana. You give me an answer. It says in the pasuk, that pasuk I just quoted from Yecheskel. Se. The opening word of the pasuk is a se is a lamb. V'loy habuchar. The first thing we learn is that a se is a generic term for a sheep, which includes males and females. An oila can be either a male or a female. Therefore, if you go and you take a bechor, a firstborn animal, that's only a male. So automatically, if a person takes an animal, bechor is mum and is not, technically would be okay, because a bechor is not really, doesn't have, I think about it, but basically he says that if a person takes an animal that's a firstborn and uses it as a carbon tzibur lo yatsat. Why? Because the bechor by definition is only a nail. It's a zohar. It has a uniqueness that it's miyuch, that it's a zohar. Whereas a seh is the word the Torah uses for a carbon tzibur, for a tamid, and that can be either from a male or a female. So by taking something that can only be a male and using it for a carbon, which can be a female, male or female, that's a violation of the halacha. It's not good. Again, we don't need to say al-gumar. We ask a question about
so muksa. The carbon tamid could be a zohar and nekeva?
Yes. Of the animal that can be a zohar or a nekeva, correct. So seh v'loy ha-bechor. Achas. The pasuk goes on the next word is se achas min hamosayim mimashke Yisrael. So the second word is achas. V'loy maiser. If you have an animal that's maiser behema, that's not called an achas, because maiser behema means there are 10 animals. The 10 animals enter into the pen, it's a set. And one of those 10 is maiser behema. So if this animal is the maiser behema animal, that cannot be called achas, because that represents 10. Interesting concept. The other 9 can be called achas, I guess. But the animal that's selected as 1, it represents 10. Memela, that's not called achas. It's not valid for a carbon tzibur. Next, min hatzoin. Again, it's se, achas, min hatzoin. Se, v'loy b'char. Achas, v'loy meiser. Min hatzoin, v'loy hapalgos. Palgos is an animal that's between 12 months and 13 months. Because a seh is a baby. A keves, a seh is the first 12 months. An animal in its second year is called an ayol. An ayol or an ayolah, male or female. But it's not called an ayol or an ayolah until it's full month into its second year. So if it's 12 months and one day to 12 months and 30 days until during that first month, it's nishtahi nishtaher. It's too old to be called a keves, to be called a seh, and it's too young to be called an ayil. So it's not here, it's not there. It's not kosher for a carbon tzibur. It has to be a seh. Seh means a baby, not an adult. In between that month, it's not here or not there, so it's no good. Next, min. When it says in the pasuk min hamasayim, what does that mean? Mimoisar shtei meos shenishtaru b'bar. Now, again, it's a very difficult pasuk, and the pasuk is telling us that this part of the pasuk is now shifting from the animal to the nesachim that accompanies the animal. The yayin that you pour on the mizbeach that accompanies every single carbon. What happens if you have in that wine, you have orla or kiliyah kerem? So the halacha is taruvis. It's a mixture. What's the halacha when you have a taruvis? What is the halacha? It is when you have a taruvis, it's asa. You can't. It's asa bahana. Kilayim and orla is asa. So when is it batal? So the pasuk here is teaching us as halacha that orla and kiliyah kerem is batal when you have 200 times more mutter than iser. When it comes to regular iser v'heter, non-kosher meat, it's always batal b'roif, 2 against 1. When it comes to tam, nesein tam, we learned a couple of daf ago, nesein tam is batal b'shishin. And now we learn from the zroya b'sheila. The zroya b'sheila of a nazir is 1/60th of an animal. The arm, the zroya, the arm of an animal, has some of the calculation, is 1/60th of the entire animal. Okay, when it comes to orlan kili hakerem, We have a tradition, we learn from this pasuk, it's one of their other sources. Rashi says it's not the only Makar, but it's one of the Makaros. Being the pasuk says the leftover of 200, it's teaching us that you have 200 times more kosher to non-kosher, then it becomes mutter. Then the part that's not kosher becomes batal. Then a Masai, mi moiser shtei me'el, shneshtar bebar. We can't, and here we learn, la'arla, Shabitla b'masayim, that if Arla gets mixed into Arla the first 3 years, fruit from the first 3 years, or for that matter Kili HaKerem, gets mixed into other liquid, the bitl now is 200 against
Arla
one.
Wine.
Arla wine, right? Wine that comes from Arla, correct? So he didn't with Arla, right? That's why I have Arla, because you don't have Klein, right? Arla wine, because that's Arla, it's only you're eating from the Sachem, correct? You bring here from the Sachem, so you squeeze grapes that grew within the first 3 years. It's Arla. If you have 200 times mutter to Isser, then it's going to become mutter. So what have we done? So here we learn Arla Shabitla B'Masayim. Okay. Now, next words of the pasuk, the last words, Mimashke, from liquid that is Yisrael. That has a connotation that it's mutter to drink. A regular Jew is permitted to partake, to drink from this liquid. From what do we learn from that pasuk? Min amutter liyisrael, mikan amru, ein mevin lesachim loy min atevel. You may not bring the sachim from tevel if you have not yet mafresh trumas and maizros. You may not use that wine for nesachim, because that wine is not fit for the consumption of a yisrael. So what do we have here so far? We have a pasuk. Let's review the pasuk. Everything in the pasuk is not nogea our Gemara, but it's still a very, very beautiful pasuk. It's very popular, very famous pasuk, which the Gemara darkens many, many times. In Yecheskel, Perek Mem Hey, that's come out the very end of Yecheskel. It says a mysterious pasuk, Se Min Se Ase Achas Min Hatzoin Mimashke Yisrael Se V'loy Bechor Achas V'loy Meiser. Minatzoin, v'loy palgus. Mimashke, echad mimosayim, mikan, orla, and climb is bottle 1 in 200. Mimashke yisrael, min hamutur li yisrael, v'loy minatevel. Okay, so that is kedai to learn the daf, just to learn this yisoid. Believe me, this is a very good yisoid to learn, these halachas. Now, comes along the Gemara, and how does this apply to Masechet Pesachim, daf mem ches, mem zayin, mayim menageya? Here comes the Gemara. Yachol, I would think, since it says in the pasuk Mimashke Yisrael, it has to be mutter for consumption. Yachol lo yavi min hamuksa, don't bring from muksa. Let's say you have not set aside this wine for consumption. This wine is merchandise. It's locked up in my store. I'm planning on selling it. It's muksa machmas chasar and kiss. I now on Yom Tov decide, you know what? I want to bring a carbon to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I want to go take my one. I want to go bring that zalim. I want to bring on the mizbeach. I can't because it's muksa, and muksa is not called mimashke yisrael. It might be kosher. It might have been mafresh shuma meiser, but it's muksa because it's merchandise. I would think I can't do it minat Torah or marta. To that, I will respond. Ma tevel, no, the only type of mashke, the prototype of Isser, is tevel. What is the essence of tevel? That it's osir machmas atzmai. And what does that mean? Ma tevel miyuchet she isser gufay garmlay. The Torah said that it's osir. Af kol she isser gufay garmlay. It has to be, it's the etzem osir. Yotzemuk, so she ain't isser gufay garmlay, el isser davaracher garmlay. It's not the etzem osir. It's nothing really wrong with muksa. Muksa is fine. It's just that it's Shabbos. Today is Shabbos, and I have not designated for Shabbos to use, so it's set aside. So it's not so terrible. In other words, the Gemara is saying you can use muksa, wine that's muksa, for nisachet. If you decide on Yom Tov to bring a carbon, and every carbon requires yayin, and you don't have any yayin, the only yayin you have is in your store, you can go to the store, take the yayin, and bring it. Oh, but it's muksa, and it's not mutter for me to drink. Nah, that's not like the prototype. You're right, it's not mutter to drink. But it's not like the prototype. The prototype has this tevel, where tevel is be'etzem osir. The yayin in the store is not osir, it's mutter. It's just that it's Shabbos, and on Shabbos, it's muksa. So It's a different type of aveir. It's not be'etzem asr. But now comes along the Gemara. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? If iser muksa is an iser de'oiraisa, what difference does it make whether it's muksa machmas atzmoy, muksa machmas tovaracher? If it's only asr mederabanan, okay, so then you can make this differentiation between a machmas atzmoy, machmas tovaracher. But if it's also min ha-toyrath, muksas and iser deraisa, I think what the Gemara means to say, it becomes muksa machmas atzmai. I think that's what the Gemara, it's not really clear, Rashi doesn't say, it doesn't really elaborate. But it becomes, if you're telling me we have a pasuk, ve'ichinu es asher yaviyu, and we have the ashara of lo yisasakol melacha, then muksa becomes a prohibition, it's also machmas itself. So you should not be allowed to use the wine in your store for the Nesachim. So here, the Iyamar to Isser Muksa Deraisa, Mali Isser Gufay, Mali Isser Dover Acher. So therefore, we see here from this Pasuk in Yechezkel, and from the Shach Vataria, that Muksa is not an Isser Deraisa. Whoever told you this Chiddush, the Echinu Esa Asher Yaviyu, is teaching you an Isser Deraisa of Muksa, misled you. Because if the Echinu Esa Asher Yaviyu is a real Pasuk that teaches you that Muksa is an Isser Deraisa, you'll be forbidden on Yom Tov to take wine that's Muksa to use as Nesachim. The fact that it's Mutter shows that Muksa is not an Isser Deraisa, and it's called on a Torahic level Mimashke Yisrael. Okay, that's one kash. Kash number two. Now this next question is going back to the sugya. Now, we started the Gemara today in the middle of the sugya. So let me just give you just a little bit of a background. The Gemara was discussing hoyel. That's what we learned yesterday. And the Gemara there quoted a case where a person does one maisa and he's chayiv multiple lavin. What was the one maisa? You cooked on Yom Tov a gid hanoshe. Now let me get a nosha. You cooked it. And you cooked it together with meat. Together with milk. So you chayiv multiple alavim. You chayiv for cooking, because you're not allowed, because you can't eat it anyways, right? You can't eat it. You chayiv for cooking basa b'cholov. You chayiv for... And one of the prohibitions the Gemara wanted to say Yichayev for, the Gemara made a long list. Okay, we're not going to go over the whole list now because that's yesterday's daf. But the Gemara wanted to say that Yichayev two acts of burning. Number one, Yichayev for burning, for cooking, because it's not letzarech oichel nefesh, because you can't eat it, you can't get anosha on Yom Tov. And number two, Yichayev because the wood is muktzah. Because the wood is muksa. The wood, the lumber, it was set aside for commercial purposes. Mm-hmm. It was not set aside for fuel. So that's what the Gemara said. Is a yechayiv malchus. Again, this is the havamina. The havamina is yechayiv malchus. Number one for cooking, the iser kloisase kol melacha for bishul, the maisa bishul. Number two, yechayiv for the melacha deraisa of the hechinu es asher yaviyu for muksa. It's muksa, and now the kloisase kol melacha. So yechayiv for bishul, esavaru esh bechol moshvel seichem, and yechayiv for the melacha of the hechinu asher yaviyu. So and that's all in the havamina. As we were discussing, where muksa is an iser deraisa, but the Gemara says, even if you're right that muksa is an iser deraisa, we have a principle that on Yom Tov, if you do one maisa that includes multiple loisaseis, you only chayv one set of malchus. Not like Shabbos. If you do one maisa and then one maisa involves multiple averos, you chayv for each single malacha. Yom Tov is more lenient in this regard, that if you do one maisa and that one maisa has two prohibitions, you only chayv one. So here, even if you're right that muksa is an iser deraisa, deriving benefit from an object that is muksa is an iser deraisa, but that same mice of burning, you're now let him make a fire that's not letzarech oichel nefesh, or that's lesase kol melacha. So how could it be? You're going to be chayif. How could it be that you're going to be chayiv for two sets of malkos for doing one maisa. But on Yom Tov, you never chayiv for malkos for doing. You never chayiv two sets of malkos for doing one maisa. It's not like Shabbos. V'yoyed atu b'yamarto achiluk malachos l'Shabbos ve'ein achiluk malachos l'Yom Tov. So these are two questions the Gemara challenges the previous staff. Number one, first of all, your premise that muktzah is an issur d'oraisa is wrong. There's no such thing that muktzah is osur min haTorah. Number two, even if muktzah was osur min haTorah, you could only be chayiv one set of malkos, not two sets of malkos, because you're already chayiv for bishul, for cooking a gid, the melacha d'oraisa of bishul, na l'tzorech echol nefesh. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're only going to be chayiv, let's forget about muktzah, take it out. But if we're going to take out the book, so we have to replace it with another set of malkos to reach the tally of five. Because it's not a point how many, the previous time, the Gemara, if you do this one ma'isa of cooking gid hanoshe, you're going to be chayav on Shabbos five sets of malkos. Okay, forget it. We're going to take out the Isser Muktzah, so but what are we going to replace it with? The El Apik Havara, take out the prohibition of making a fire of Muktzah. The Ayil Atzei Ashera. The wood that you're using to cook the Gid Hanoshe is wood of Avodah Zarah. And you're not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah. It has nothing to do with Yom Tov. For Yom Tov, you have one lois asay of Havara, making a fire, not Letzorech Echol Nefesh. But you have another lois asay, another set of Malkos, for deriving benefit from Avodah Zarah. And that has nothing to do with Yom Tov. And that's why you'll be chayv another set of Malkos. Apik Avar v'ayulatzei Hashera. What's the Ashara? The Ashara mehocha, v'lo yidbak b'yotcha me'uma min acherim. Nothing shall be left over into your hands from without that which is set aside to be destroyed, but the Zara is suddenly set aside to be destroyed. If that's the case that we're dealing here with Atzei Ashera, we got a problem. It's not going to be a total of five. It should be six. Because once we're looking for the Zara, in addition to the prohibition, there's multiple lavin when you have benefit from Avodah Zarah. There is lo yidbak biyotcha min acherim, and there's also lo savi to'eva el beisecha. There are two lavin for Avodah Zarah, so it should be a total of six. But yet the Braita says five. So the Gemara says, you're right. Forget about Atzei Asherah, Ela Apika Ahavara, Ve'ayil Atzei Hegdish. Last week's Parsha. Parsha Asra'ei. You're using to cook the Gid Hanoshe wood that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, holy wood. So what's so terrible? What's the lois asay v'asaros mihocha? It says in last week's Parsha, Parsha Asra'ei, Ve'asherehem tisrefun bo'esh. You learned last week? You learned last week? You learned last week?
No.
You didn't last week? You're off vacation summer?
No.
Ray, what? Ray. You got a break last week. The Ashrehem, well deserved. The Ashrehem Tishrefun Ba'esh. Lo, and then what's the next pasuk? The next pasuk is Lo Sasun Kein Lashem Lokechem. Don't destroy the property of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mail of this, there's only one Lo Sasay. So that's the Gemara's Maskana. That's the Gemara's Maskana. With the previous stock, they're a total of five lavin. It's not going to be muksa. Muksa is out. It was a very nice try. It's a fascinating, you know, and there's a yesoid. Every half amin in the Gemara has some truth to it. Right? What's the famous example? Tachnun, not saying Hasidim, do not say Tachnun on day 16 and 17 of Adar. Purim is over. You have Shushan Purim is day 15, right? Yudal is Purim. Yudgimel is Hanases. Yudal is Purim. Tezvav is Shushan Purim. Now we come to Yud Tezayin and Yud Zayin. Do you say Tachnun?
Yes.
So most of us say Tachnun. But by Chassam Chassidish groups, they do not say Tachnun on Tezayin and Yudzayin, because the Gemara had a Havamina in the beginning of Masechet Megillah, and the Gemara made the drashas of that. Oh, I remember the whole Gemara that you should be able to lay in the Megillah. Megillah Nikrais, what does the Gemara say? Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav. five times, right? Loi, not before, not after. And the Gemara says, how do you know this? Because it says bismanehem, a whole long drasha. And the Gemara, part of the drasha, the Gemara says, maybe we should say that you can lay it on tezayin and yezayin. And if the Gemara, v'lo yavar, no, v'lo yavar, it's mermaid drasha, you can't go past day 15, that's it, v'lo yavar. But in the havamina, the Gemara had a suggestion that you can lay it in the gil on day 16-17. You believe it or not, this is not a joke, this is serious stuff. There are shittas that you don't say tachnun, that even though the Gemara rejected it, since there was a hav amina b'day tezayin and yuzayin hav kedushas purim to some degree, where you can lay megillah in certain places, whatever it is, it retains the vestige of kedusha. You don't say tachnun.
Some people had to have amina all year round.
All year round, okay. But it's an incredible yisrael. So here it's an incredible yisrael. You take that every single Gemara. Okay, I don't know, it's the nogia so much now. I want to tell you that hav amina. But here it's an amazing thing when the Gemara talks about muksa, and the Gemara has a whole half an omel Gemara, a havamina, then muksa is an isser deraisa. Mamishna quotes a pasuk. Ve'chinu es asher yaviu. It's a very geshmaka pasuk. You have to have a chana. It's not talking about cooking, because that is another es asher tevashlu ba'ashem luvis sha'oifu to'oifu. The other pasukim. It's so much stam, a chana. Yiram na mechin, it's asser, isser deraisa. Muksa in a havamina is a din deraisa. Fascinating. Okay, right. Amar Rabbi Yechama, Amar Bechama. Now then it goes back to the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah, this is a hard Mishnah. Let's show you the basic Yisaitis. There's a lot going on. Let's try to touch on the basic Yisaitis. In the previous staff, Shalom Aleichem. I've not seen you in a long time.
How's in the country?
Okay, let's go right. Now this is a difficult sugi here. Let's go back to very quickly. What do we learn in the Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah a very complicated halacha where you have in front of you have teva. You have a dough, and it's Pesach. And time Chazal, they took very great risks. They baked matzah on Pesach itself. Unheard of today. Today it's even almost unheard of to bake matzah erev Pesach, right after matzah mitzvah. Yeah, but it's dangerous stuff. They charge you triple the price. Okay, matzah mitzvah. You know the cost matzah mitzvah. Go do their Pesach after the zman iser. Okay, it's only a license, no chorus. Now it's before the zman, before the night. But today, to go, can you imagine someone will catch you baking matzah on Pesach itself? It'll ruin the Yishaduchim for Doris. You're baking matzah on Pesach itself. The time of Chazal, they bake matzah on Pesach itself. And now that's going to be the talk of the next Mishnah. How far we get there soon, talks about when you bake matzah on Pesach itself, you have to limit yourself to how much dough. The batter cannot be too large. Once the batter gets too big, you don't have control. And it's inevitable it's going to turn into chametz. You only can bake in small amounts. Okay. But let's say you're baking matzah on Pesach, and you have dough, and the dough is tamei. Ooh, you got a big... This is the Mishnah. What? So exactly, we have a problem anyway. And it's tamei. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, what are you going to do? You have to be mafresh shchala. If you're mafresh shchala, now it's yomtiv. Remember, it's Pesach. I'm talking about yomtiv. It's you're going to be mafresh. Let's say you're going to be mafresh shchala. So no big deal. You're mafresh shchala tamei. We do today. Bizman is that we make a bracha. You're mafresh shchala tamei. And what do you do with it? You can't give it to the kohen because the kohen can't eat it. Even if you know you have a kohen miyuchas, you'll find a kohen miyuchas or Rappaport. A kohen miyuchas, and you'll give him the chala. What's he going to do with it? He can't eat it. No. Carmen, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me.
I was looking at both.
I'm sorry. Who else? Another coin here?
Carmen?
No.
No, just one coin here. There's only one coin gadol.
One at a time.
Okay. So we have a chala tenea. We ask, what are you going to do with it? You give it to the coin. So what is he going to do with it? Yeshakayach. It's tamei. What are you giving me? You have to burn. There's no benefit. He has to burn. So you don't give today chal to the kohen because there's no benefit from it. It's Pesach. It's Yontif. The dough is tameya. I'm going to mafresh it. What am I going to do with it now? Now I got a problem. If I put it in the oven and I bake it, it's not litzorich lechol nefesh. Why not? Because it's tamei and the kohen can eat it. The other is chulin. I can eat it.
Does it make the oven tamei?
It doesn't make a difference. The oven, no. The oven is not, as long as it's well, no. Bread can't make the oven tamei because bread. No, that's not our issue. We can't do it. So how are you, what are you going to do? You're over a lois sasa kol malacha. You mean over an isa deraisa of doing malacha deraisa on Yom Tov shaloi litzarech eichel nefesh. I have dough, I put it in the oven, no one's going to eat this because it's tamei, I'm not for shchala. So you're over on afia. You're over on afia on Yom Tov shaloi litzarech eichel nefesh. So what are you going to do? You got a big problem. So the Mishnah says different solutions. One solution is don't be mad for shchala. Put the entire all of the dough, break up into different breads, and put all of the breads into the oven. You bake them because at each moment, I was not yet mad for shchala. And basically, what the Gemara is going to suggest is hoil. That's what it's all coming to. The Gemara doesn't say that in the Mishnah anywhere, but it's each loaf of bread when you put into the oven potentially can be a loaf of bread which I'm going to eat. When will I be mafer shchala? After it's finished baking. And that's not when you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to reishis aris seichem tarim uchum al Hashem dough. They do it the dough. They do it. When it's baked, they do it. After it's baked,
the oven, they take off a piece and cover it.
Why don't they do it in the beginning? The dough. Why don't they take off the dough?
When we break challah for Shabbos,
dough.
We're not talking about matzah.
But why don't they take off the dough? Maybe because they get mixed up. It's become chametz. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Maybe because they have to so quick, they have to sit, put a different place and become chametz, they get confused. I don't know the answer. But the solution here is, according to the first time in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, is, you know what? Ideally, you should be mafrish dough. But we can't. Because then you can do every night, it's a deraisa of baking shulotech olim. So what's the other solution? So don't bake it. Let it sit. Put it away on the table. What's the problem by letting not baking in the oven? It's going to turn into chametz. And then you got a bigger problem. You got Baal Yira, Baal Yimotze. So you're stuck nowhere. To bake it is loisas kol malacha, shlo tzarech echol nefesh. To do nothing, you're going to have Baal Yira, Baal Yimotze. So what are you going to do? So the Rabbi Lez says, you know what you do? Don't do the ideal. Don't bake. Don't be mafer shchala. Put everything in the oven, bake it. And then after it's bread, then you'll be mafer shchala. B'dieva, you can do it. B'dieva, you can be mafer shchala after it's already baked. You can do it. Oh, but it's still, but retroactively, I'm really telling you the Gemara right now. But what have you accomplished? Retroactively, after you bake all the breads, and then you designate this one bread, this one matzah, will be the challah. That means retroactively, when I put this dough into the oven to make this particular matzah, I've done a malacha deraisa of lesasika malacha shaloi litzarech echol nefesh. Now the answer is hoyil. That's the Gemara's chiddush. Since at that moment in time, theoretically, every single one of these breads could have been the one which I'm going to eat, and I'm not going to set aside for the kohen as the challah. That's good enough. We don't go back retroactively. This now turned into the loaf of bread, the matzah, which is not royal achila. We don't do that. At the moment, we look at the moment in time. Like we just learned yesterday, Erev Tav Shilin. You go and you bake on Friday, Litzarech Shabbos, because maybe guests will come. And what happens if guests don't come? So that means retroactively, when you did all the cooking for Shabbos, it was all a malacha, shaloi, Litzarech Echol Nefesh. So why in Teretz says we don't look at it like that? We look at it at the moment, since at this moment in time, there is a possibility that a guest will arrive and will need the food, so it's mutter. Same exact thing. So the Gemara is now going to go make the suggestion. That's why this whole thing is being brought down. The whole daf, the last daf, was only hakdama to get to this point in time, to go back to the Mishnah. The time of Rabbi Eliezer that allows a person to prepare the matzah, to bake the matzah, and then afterwards designate one challah, is because Rabbi Eliezer holds of the sheet of hoyil. What about the other Tana? The other Tana says, the other two Tana ben say, what do they say? They say, no, the solution is take the dough and put the dough in cold water. Rabbi Yeshua said, what did Rabbi Yeshua say in the Mishnah? Make sure I'm saying it right. We have three opinions in the Mishnah. We had Ben Beseira, and we had Rabbi Yehoshua. this Gemara turned like many pages. All right, I'm going to get confused. Let's look at that. I'll just look at Rabbi Yeshua. We'll come to it. Rabbi Yeshua says, we'll see what Rabbi Yeshua says. And what do? Let's assume that you just take the dough and put the dough in cold water. By putting the dough in cold water, it will prevent it from becoming chametz. Freeze the dough. Basically, what he's saying is freeze the dough. Such a thing. If you freeze dough, it does not become chametz. What? Yeshua says what? Okay, so Yeshua is the one who says that it doesn't matter. Let it become chametz. Gezun to hate. Why? Because it belongs to the shevet. The shevet. It's not the isur balgi. Rohi balgi motze is your chametz. It's not yours. It belongs to the shevet of the kohanim. And there's no prohibition about your balgi motze on public chametz. So be mafresh the challah in like you normally would when it's dough, and if it and don't bake it because it's not letzeichel nefesh, and if it becomes chametz, gezun to hate, so it became chametz. What are you worried about? Baliyah balimotze? It's not mine, not my problem. It belongs to the kohanim. It's their problem. It's not their problem either because you have not given it to any particular kohen. No problem. Why didn't Rabbi Yehoshua give the solution of Rabbi Eliezer? A much similar. What do you want to have chametz lying around in the house, even though it's not yours? Bake it already, and then after you bake it, you'll be mafresh challah. You know what the teretz is? Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of hayel, doesn't hold from this. If you want to go bake, you want to bake. You have to. You can't go bake. You can't prepare for from Friday to Shabbos. There's no such thing as a hoyel. Guests will arrive. It's going to be more. The whole concept of hoyel he doesn't agree with. This machlokes is between Rav Chista and who's the other letter that we had. The Gemara wants to say that there was Amorayim. We had it before in the 2 days ago. A machlokes is Amorayim. If we say hoyel. The Gemara is now suggesting, guess what? The Machlekes Amoraim of Hoyle really is rooted in the Machlekes Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, when it comes to the dough that's Tameh on Pesach itself. I think the Gemara is still going very quick. So here we have the Gemara, Omar Rav Merchama. Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down now after it gets wide. Omar Rav Merchama. Hod Rav Chis Rav Rabba. The Machlekes Rav Chis and Rabba. Rav Chis says Hoyle. Rabbi says we don't say hoyel. Be'emes, the machlekes tanoyim. Let's connect the amoroyim to the tanoyim. Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, Saba, Amrim, hoyel. And that's why he says, bake all of the dough. And afterwards, you'll be mafresh, one of the loaves of bread as, one of the loaves of bread as a challah. As challah. Rabbi Yeshua, Saba, Amrim, hoyel. We don't say hoyel. I'm not Papa, the Dilma, it's not a Raya. How can you compare the case of preparing Friday afternoon for Shabbos to the case of the Mishnah of dough that's Tanea on Pesach? There's a fundamental difference. And what the Gemara is now going to say is there are different madregos of hoyl. You may subscribe to one type of hoyl and not another. What do we mean? The Dilma, at Kalakam Rabbi Lazar Hassam, the Abin Hoyl, Ella the Idna, the Ka'il, the Tanura, Kol Chodu Chodu Chazil, the Day. When you put those loaves of bread into the oven, those doughs into the oven, each one can be, you can fit for you. You can mamash eat it. Later, when you'll designate one, okay, then it's going to turn out that one is not going to be fit. Aval hacha. But over here, when it comes to Friday, you ate a big Yom Tif meal. You are busting. You are full. You are full to the limit. There's no way in the world that you can eat anything more. So why am I cooking? Maybe someone else will come, an outsider, a long lost cousin will show up, a long lost guest will come. If you want to say hoyel, it has to be a hoyel where it's chazi l'didei. Yechidish. Svei mini hoyla. There's a hoyel the chazi l'didei, and there's a hoyel that's chazi l'achrina. So maybe when Rabbi Eliezer says hoyel, because that's l'didei, but not nuchach when it comes to Friday to Shabbos, that's l'achrina. Furthermore, we can say the other way around. Arka loikamai Rabbi Yeshua hasim d'lo. I mean hoyel. Rabbi Yeshua says, don't cook it. Don't bake the matzah. Let it become chametz. Don't worry about it. Big deal. It's not yours anyway. You don't say hoyel. Daim ela diiga chod d'loy chazi loy l'dev lo lech. You know why? It's worse. Because if you're going to bake the matzah, and then you're going to designate one loaf of bread, one matzah, as challah, that one that you designate is not fit for no one, not for you, you're not a kohen, and not for the kohen because it's tamei. No one's going to have benefit. Whereas here, Friday to Shabbos, if a guest comes, at least the guest can eat it. It's chazi for someone. A different type of hoyl. How can you compare the different types of hoyls? So therefore comes out, you can't compare beautiful sugya. There are different types of hoyls, like three different types of hoyls. There's a hoyl that's chazi l'diday, and a hoyl that's chazi l'achrina. That's what comes out of the Gemara. Three types of hoyl. You have two Jews, three opinions.
At least
three opinions. That's mamash, mamash what comes out of the Gemara. Because there's one batter of dough. If you had, first of all, you're not going to be mafresh from the tummy altar. That's a Mishnah. You can't be mafresh from the tummy, you have to be a batter of dough that's tummy. You cannot be mafresh from the tummy altar, you're not allowed to. And let's make the case very simple. This is all you got. You have here in front of you a batter of dough, and the dough is all tummy. Make it very simple. Okay, right, next one. Amru Rabbanan Kamid Rabbi Yirmiyah, they said over the sugya before Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zeir. They said over the sugya, they said over the machlekes and the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, and it was a pellet no one really can figure out what exactly do they argue about. Now it's always nice to have a mahalach. A mahalach, that's what you need a Rosh Shiva, right? In the olden days, yeah, that's that you get derech and learning, a mahalach and learning. So they were struggling. What's the mahalach to understand the machlekes and Yeshua? They came along with this brilliant solution. They stelled to the Amorayim, and they said, and they argued about hoyel. So the Talmidim accepted. So they kibla Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera, I'm going to remember Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah kibla. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Givaldik, I accept. The machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, is a machlekes in hoyel. Rabbi Zera le kibla. Rabbi Zera said, no, I don't accept it. I don't like it. We had all these nice reasons. You can't compare one hoyel to that type of hoyel. Rabbi Zera, what's your problem? Loosen up.
He just doesn't want to get involved in the machlokes.
Loosen up. Milsa the Kostulon the Asya Kamishani. But my pliki, this has been troubling us for decades, for centuries. What's the machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua? Look, we have a great man. They said over the name of a great man, the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon, they said over the Loi Nikabla. Shouldn't we accept it? Or shouldn't we accept what the Rabbanon tell us what the Machlokes is? Amalei Hechya Kabla. How could I accept such an approach? Because look what it says in the Mishnah. The Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, look back to the words of the Mishnah. Omar le Rabbi Yeshua, it's a Braiser, we learned the Braiser, not the Mishnah. Omar le Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to the Rabbanon, Lidvarecha, how you oivim Yeshua loisasaka molacha. In the Braiser, there was an elaboration. And the elaboration was, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Elazar, yes, what in the world are you doing? You have dough that's tameh, and you're baking matzahs on Yom Tov? And one of the matzahs, you're baking matzahs, but one of those matzahs you're going to be mafresh aschala, and when you mafresh aschala, it's going to be asa biachila for everyone, for the ganze welt. So you're doing the malacha deraisa. How could you do this? That's what Rabbi Yoshua said to Rabbi Eliezer. V'shosikle! And Rabbi Eliezer was silent. Why was he quiet? Why she should have spoken up and he should have said, V'isa, if it's really true that they argue between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua's hoyel, V'yemisa, le'emulei ta'amadim shum hoyel. Why was he silent? Rabbi Eliezer should have defended himself. When you have a defense, you speak up. And he should have said one word, hoyel, hoyel. Amalei. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera said, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zera, that's why you don't want to accept him on this mahalich, because he was silent. Ulatameich, let me ask you a question. Ha, the Tanina b'braisa, we have a braisa. What does it say in the braisa? Rabbi Eliezer, there was a rebuttal. Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua in the braisa, Harehu oiver mishum bal yu bal yimotze. What do you do? What do you say? You say, no big deal. So what's the solution? Just don't be mafresh challah. Make a bracha. Asher k'deshana b'mitzvah svan mafresh sachallah. Right? Is that the bracha? Mafresh sachallah? What bracha do you make?
On the Issa.
Okay. This goes to show how often I mafresh challah. Okay? So the go on be mafresh challah. And put the challah on the side. Put the challah on the side on Yomtiv and let it become chametz. So he said to him, it's ridiculous. You can let it become chametz. And you have an loisase, two loisases. The shosikle. And guess what? In the Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua had nothing to say. In the Mishnah also, he had nothing to say. But we know for a fact that he did answer him. Not in that braisa, in a different braisa. He answered him in the Mishnah. What did he answer him in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said that in the Mishnah. The answer is, you're not chayef. Because the issur deraisa v'lo yeru el l'cho chometz. V'lo yeru el l'cho sar shal l'cho. Lo zeh chometz shemusen Allah mishu ba yobali motzei. Allah. So just like we find that Rabbi Yehoshua did indeed answer back Rabbi Eliezer elsewhere, we have a right to assume that Rabbi Eliezer also answered Rabbi Yehoshua. Now we just don't have the brayso in front of us, but we have a right to assume that maybe out there somewhere in the big world there's a collection of braysos. A mechilta. A mechilta is another word for a brayso. Very good geshurak movie here. Hachinami emal to yeshasik lebimastis. In the Mishnah he didn't give an answer. Vahale bimechilta. You don't achrita. You don't find this word, these words often in Shas. Not that I know of. Not that I know anything. But this is a very unusual expression. The Gemara says the brayso, which means bar on the outside, masnisa and tanina the tanya, but here the Gemara is vahadle b'mechilta achriti, in another mechilta, which is another word for a braisa. So therefore, just because silence is not an admission of defeat, it's not an admission of defeat. Sometimes you're silent because you just don't want to bother answering at the moment, or you don't. It's not necessary, but there is an answer. So therefore, the Gemara stands with Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zera, you gotta loosen up a little bit. We have a gevaldik mahalach, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. We have a great. The Rabbanan have taught the stars. We have a bar samcha. They're reliable, and therefore we should accept this approach to explain the machlekes. Rabbi Yeshua to learn from the machlekes in Hoyil. Okay, Vaita. Now the Gemara elaborates a little bit more. Tanya, we learn about Rabbi Yehoshua says, "Halach Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi says, "We've passing like Rabbi Eliezer that says what? Bake the dough on Yom Tov. Bake it, hoil, and afterwards you'll designate one matzah, and then that will be the one." Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Zalach Kibben Beseira. What does Ben Beseira say? He was the third opinion of the Mishnah. He's in the middle. The opinion of the Mishnah. You got a problem. No hoil. Don't do hoil, and don't rely upon mum and shave it. What you got to do is you got to freeze the dough. You gotta freeze it. How do you freeze it in ancient times? You soak it in cold water. Of cold water, you take the dough, you put it in cold water, and the cold water somehow is going to prevent it from becoming chametz. Okay. Now we go to a new sugya. Okay, Kamla Shuris, the Gemara tells us this amazing concept that time Chazal, they would bake matzah on Pesach itself. I never heard this, right? You never hear this today. It's unheard of. You ever hear this today?
No.
Never heard of it. What? No big there, Master. Maybe you go to the bigger. Maybe. The Kamash is, what is the amount of dough that you're allowed to bake on Pesach itself? It's manageable. It won't become chametz. Rabbi Shmuel ben Shabbi Yochanan ben Breiko Omer bechitin. If you're dealing with wheat matzah, we discuss this kabayim. Kabayim means two kav, a double kav. That's a lot. That appears to be quite, because the shir challah is one kav. I think right, the shir challah is one kav, which is a sizable amount of dough. You can manage a double kav which appears to be, how many eggs? 43 point
it's
something?
Probably about 10 pounds.
10 pounds. Well, what, 5 pounds is?
One calf.
So 10 pounds. That's a lot of dough. You can manage 10 pounds of dough. That's an enormous amount of dough. It's an enormous amount of dough you can manage. Of wheat, uvisoren, barley, shloishkan. I mean, never we discussed this a couple weeks ago. Do we have today barley matzah? I've never heard of this. You ever heard barley matzah?
Oats
and spelt. Yeah, we've spoken about it, but we never heard about barley matzah. By the time of Chazal, they made barley matzah.
They didn't come up that the people are allergic to spelt,
that they need. Another couple of years, okay. Barley does not become chametz so quickly. It's a slow process. So the soirin shloishes kabin. Rabbi Nosson says, Mishum Rabbi Lezer, chiluf hadam, pum fakert. Barley, only 2 kaf. Wheat, 3 kaf. Can you imagine? 15 pounds. Of your time with the Bible, Rabbi Shmuel ben Shom Yochanan Barik, Omer b'chitin shloishes kavin, 3 kav, v'sarim 4 kavin, 4 kavin. Leikah shoha b'chasichtoha b'mal yasa. Chasichta means low, inferior quality wheat and barley. If it's inferior quality, it's very small. The kernels are very small, dried out. Then you can do even 3 and 4, the higher number. It's not going to rise so quickly. It's not going to ferment so quickly. But if it's high quality, then the shim are going to be 2, 3. Bimal yasa means good quality. Amra papa shmamina. Here we learn shmamina. Girin chite chasichta. The ratio of high quality to poor quality by wheat is greater than the ratio of difference between poor quality barley to good quality barley. What do we mean? When it comes to wheat, the difference is a third. You're going from 2 good quality to 3 poor quality. What's the difference between 2 kav and 3 kav? A third. So when you get inferior quality wheat, the difference is a third. But when dealing with barley, inferior good quality barley, the amount you can manage is 3. The amount that you can and inferior quality, the amount you can manage is 4. So the ratio is between 3 and 4 is a fourth of the larger number. So you see a very interesting yesod is that when you're dealing with the difference between high quality and low quality, the change is much greater in wheat than it is in barley. V'hacha revia. I'm a rav kava milogno. One more halacha. Kava milogno lepischa. 1 kav of this grain called milogno lepischa is the amount of flour that you can manage for pesach. 1 kav. V'chein lechala. Now he's thinking very big because we learned that it's 2 kav, and here he says it's 1 kav. And the chayim lechala, chala, the shear is, the bichayim and chala, 43 eggs, and the fraction is 1 kav of miloigna. Miloigna is the name of a place. It's the name of a place, and they're very high quality wheat. And the shear is 1 kav. The chayim lechala. Oh, but we learned the shear is, when it comes to chala, it's not 1 kav, it's chameshes, it's 1 kav and 1/4. They have different measurements. And that locale, they have different measurements. Their 1 kav is equal to our 1 kav and 1/5. So it's really the same amount, but just different ways of measuring things. Today's daf.